My name is Tom Sperry. I'm a plastic surgeon in Manhattan. I work on the Upper East Side, where all of the other plastic surgeons seem to be. I'm in practice just about 20 years. Of course, I'm board certified in plastic surgery. I happen to be the president of the New York Regional Society of Plastic Surgeons. I have an interesting practice because I do a lot of body contouring stuff. I have for most of my career. In the last, say 5 or 6 years, I have an increasing number of face patients. In other words, things like getting rid of a double chin or slimming the face, and which I'm very proud of. It's hard to maintain a two-pronged practice that way. And I don't know how long it's going to last, because usually the public wants you to be one or the other. But I sort of feel like I trained for a long time. It wasn't just to do a couple of procedures.
By two-pronged, you meant the face and also body contouring.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you can be whatever you want to be, right?
If they come in and if I take good care of them, then I get more work in that area. So
yeah.
That's just how it is.
If you're ready, we can get underway. Dr. Sperry, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. You do all of your procedures in your office, right? So people don't have to go to a hospital.
Oh, I do the vast majority of my procedures in the office. Yes, I have my own Quad A certified operating room. I do take some folks to Mount Sinai Hospital where I attend, but that is sort of unusual because my practice is pretty much limited now to cosmetic surgery.
Okay. And I would think that because you have a self-contained little world there, it would be easier for you to protect people against COVID.
Well, I suppose there's some truth to that because we... we have complete control. It's a one-person office, so we only allow one patient in at a time. Got the HEPA 13 filtration system. I've got an Atmosair system going that kills the virus. We screen everyone. No one is allowed to be in the operating room unless they've tested COVID-19 negative. At this point, my staff is vaccinated against the disease as well. So I suppose you have a point. You know, if you go to a main hospital, you've got folks around you, I hate to say this, but they're sick. If you come to an office like this one, there are really a very few people who are ill.
I was interested in facial contouring. What is that for the uninitiated among us?
Oh, so it could mean several different things, but basically if someone, let's start with simple things. Someone has a double chin that they don't like and they're frustrated by it. We have a couple of different ways to reduce the double chin and decrease it. Most of them are done under local anesthesia, and they take somewhere between 30 minutes and an hour, depending on what exactly is being done. I also have patients who come to me saying, I have a round face and I want more contour, I want more features. So we might do things like buccal fat removal from the inside of the cheek, or on occasion I'll even do some what we call microcannula liposuction of the cheeks in the lower face and jowl region in order to reduce the roundness, or take a face that's become square with age, and we can suction out the jowl region. It's just a couple of cc's, it doesn't take too long, and then they go from having a round face or an amorphous face to being more heart-shaped or triangular.
Do you find that you're doing a lot more of that because of, this is going to sound wacky to say, but because of the Kardashians, as well as all this facial contouring makeup that so many of the younger people are doing online?
Yeah, I think that it may not be Kardashians per se, but certainly social media, some of the filters that are available on social media, if you notice, they all make your eyes a little bigger and they make your face a little more triangular, a little more V-shaped. And what was the other thing you just said?
Oh, makeup contouring.
Makeup.
There was a
Absolutely.
Real focus on this now, and especially with Zoom, of course, too, with all the meetings on Zoom we're doing.
You have no idea how many patients I meet who are, they come in because now the whole world is on Zoom. A lot of folks are coming in and saying, I can't stand the way I look on camera. I've got to do something about this. This needs to be, what can I do? And maybe that's why their facial contouring makeup is popular as well. I'm not sure about that one. I haven't really thought about it. But there's no question that folks come in and they say, well, I have to use all this bronzer to make my cheekbones show. And they know, because they're on social media and whatnot, that if I take away the buccal fat, which is just below the mid-face, a lot of times it appears as though the cheekbones sort of pop a little bit more, and it's very popular.
I don't know what I expect you to say to this, but the other side of the coin is, isn't there some comfort in a familiar face, your own? I mean, do you ever turn people away, or do you see a way that you can help people feel better no matter who they are?
I turned two people away yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah, shoot. Yeah, it happens all the time because here's the problem. I think that our culture, unfortunately, they seem to feel that everything is a 30-minute reality TV show and that they can get what they want just by paying for it. And that sometimes if you're not built that way, you can't get there from here. Or there might be other reasons, you know, to not perform various procedures. Sometimes patients are simply unrealistic with what they're wanting. But in terms of a familiar face, yeah, I am absolutely in tune with you there. We don't like to create faces that didn't exist before, right? Yeah. For the most part, I'm trying to make somebody look like they did 15 years ago. I'm trying to create what they used to have. A lot of folks come in and they show me pictures, you know, iPhones and whatnot. They're very convenient because they can show me a photo of themselves from a few years ago. So this is what I'm supposed to look like. How come I look like this now? I hate this. And it's very helpful because many times I can make it happen for them.
Is it hard to fix jowls?
Jowls, yeah. So jowl can be a little tricky. In some cases, if the skin tone is good and if the patient's just the right age, sometimes I can just do a couple of cc's of liposuction and reduce the jowl and hold off anything more significant. Other times, it might actually call for something like a facelift, which has become a four-letter word, and I hate saying it on your show. but a well-done facelift actually looks good. We all know the ones that look bad, and sometimes people think that facelifts all look bad, but they don't, honestly. Most of us have no idea how many lifted faces we see every day. It's just that they were done well.
What about under-eye circles, or is that the bailiwick of a dermatologist?
So under-eye circles could be from a couple of different causes, right? Sometimes it's because we're becoming a little bit aged, and the fat that supports the eyeball itself, that fat is supported by a little wall of what we call fascia. And it kind of holds the fat inside the eye socket. And as we age, sometimes that wall gets a little bit weak and then the fat bulges. In the old days, and even now, sometimes we still do take away some of that fat, but we're trying to become a little more sophisticated about it. And for a lot of folks, they don't need the fat removed. They need the wall reinforced. Or sometimes they need a little fat, ironically, added just below in that tear trough, that little circle you mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
That can also be helpful. At the same time, when you talk about eye circles, sometimes it's a pigmentation issue. If it's a pigmentation issue, you're right, that's more of a dermatology, in the dermatology realm. Although I think it's hard to fix the pigmentation problem. Some folks try a little acid peel. Sometimes people will try various products to make it fade. But I've noticed in my hands, if it's a pigment issue, it's challenging.
You do mommy makeovers.
Well, a mommy makeover can mean different things to different mommies. Usually when we use that phrase, we're talking about a tummy tuck to repair some of the damage that's been done by pregnancies. And when we do those, there's usually a little bit of liposuction around the back and the flank area because we all get a little muffin top. You know, after age 30, whether you had a baby or not, you're going to start getting a little bit of muffin top. And then when we use that phrase, mommy makeover, it typically involves some kind of breast work. So it might be a breast lift. It might be an augmentation to give volume back because they lost volume after the pregnancy. Or it might be both. And so it is a little bit of a catchphrase, and it does mean different things to different patients.
I may butcher this. Diastasis recti? What is that?
Yeah, this is one of my pet peeves. It's a little bit of a project, or I've tried to make it a project for myself. You know, when a woman gets pregnant, there are hormones and prostaglandins that surge, and they circulate throughout the body, and they make a lot of things relax. And that's important, right? Because you need the tummy to distend to accommodate a larger uterus with the baby. So then the patient gives birth, and for the vast majority of women, those prostaglandins reverse. There are different hormones involved, and things get tighter again. But for some folks, it doesn't work that way. And they just don't, things that are stretched out don't go back together. When we talk about diastasis recti, in particular, we mean the abdominal wall. When you see a six-pack, you know, on the side of the bus with the ad that goes by and there's somebody there, and the men or women, either one, they're ripped and we're all jealous of them. The muscles that we're seeing usually are the rectus abdominis muscles, and that's what creates the six-pack. There's a, for lack of a better word, there's a tendon in between those two muscles called the linea alba. With pregnancy, in some women, it stretches out quite a bit, and after the pregnancy, most of the time it comes back together, but sometimes it doesn't. And so friends and family, and first of all, the woman gets very frustrated and upset that she can't get her body back. People who love her and care about her say, oh, come on, honey, you just have to get back in the gym. Girlfriends, sisters, mothers even sometimes. You got to work out. You got to make this better. And for some of those folks, it's not going to get better. Yeah. It's just the way that they're built now. And I sometimes use the analogy, you know, if I showed you an x-ray of a broken bone that looked like a cross, you'd understand that if we don't put the bone back in place, it's not going to heal properly. But when it's soft tissue, we all think, oh, you just have to be more proactive. And when you tell a woman you need to work out more, you can fix this, to me, it's a form of body shaming. Because you're telling that woman she's not trying hard enough. And there's no way she's going to be able to make this better on her own. There are various physical therapy techniques and whatnot that are designed supposedly to help to correct it and bring things back together. And a lot of people think they're being helped by it. But I will contend that the reason those people get better is because of their hormones and prostaglandins that do reverse. And this is someone who is destined to get better anyway. For some of the unfortunate few, there's really not much they can do about it. I do a lot of abdominal wall reconstructions in the hospital. I used to do a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And I also happen to have my master's degree in exercise physiology. So I am all about going to the gym. I used to be a personal trainer before medical school.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm absolutely in favor of working out and trying hard. But if you try for a year or two, because it does take a while, and you don't get satisfaction, and you don't, you know, and there's no shame in asking for help. Right. Because sometimes it's a physical ailment that needs to be addressed properly, and it's not fair what society does to these women. It really is very, I think it's just awful. I wish that more folks would understand this particular message, because these folks come to me, and many times, you know, they're not all teary-eyed, but they're certainly frustrated, disappointed, and they try to resign themselves to the fact that they can never wear a bathing suit again. And I'm a mom now, and this is just how it is, and it doesn't have to be.
Isn't it also made worse by these celebrities like Jessica Simpson, I'm thinking of, who was 150 pounds, or I don't know. She was really, she put on a lot of weight during her pregnancy. And then all of a sudden, the next time we see her, she's about 120 pounds and ripped. It makes everybody else feel bad about themselves.
Well, I absolutely agree. And, you know, you have to remember that some of these folks, it's their job to look good.
Yeah.
That's what they get paid to do, essentially. And so I don't know anything about her medical history, if you want to stick with that particular celebrity. But I do know, or I believe, that there's at least one other celebrity whose name we all know and I can't mention. Okay. But she had twins and then similarly looked great a year or two later. And I will tell you, in no uncertain terms, she had a tummy tuck. Right. I'm sure she's working out. I'm sure she takes good care of herself. And I'm also sure she had a tummy tuck. Not that it's our business, right?
Yeah.
But to your point, it does send a signal, a message to the public that this is what you're supposed to be able to do. And not all of us can.
Now is a perfect time, isn't it? Because we're all at home. If we really want to get something done, we can get it done and heal in the privacy of our own homes.
Yeah, I absolutely see that. Probably read a little bit about, there certainly was a bump post-lockdown in procedures that people like me do, in part because we're wearing masks. In part because we're at home. And as you mentioned, you have the privacy to recover. You don't have to get up and commute to work. You can log into your Zoom meeting and recover in your house. And I absolutely experienced that bump in work also, which was, I don't mind telling you, quite welcome, because for a few months there when I wasn't allowed to work, it was kind of petrifying. I didn't know the expenses didn't go away, but we had no way to earn a living.
Yeah. Did you see that article on Will New York City Come Back?
It is very frightening. I think it'll come back. I remember them in 1990, there were people declaring the city dead. And then again, after 9/11, et cetera. And it still remains a place to be. Like they say, it's not different this time.
True. I agree with you. By the way, sort of wrapping this up, what are you doing the most of these days?
These days, I'm doing a lot of facial contouring. And to your point, I think it is because folks are wearing masks and the social media. It's really a confluence of issues coming together. And I really do. I do a lot of round faces to triangle faces or heart-shaped faces. I do a lot of double chins. Lip lift is the latest thing that we're doing a lot of. It turns out that as we age, our upper lip gets longer. This is documented. We know this from CT scans, et cetera. So when I'm doing any kind of facial enhancement, many times it occurs to me, you know, if I lift that lip a little bit, and it's the sort of thing that the outside world doesn't really notice. They just think you look better, but nobody would think that you look with lipids, for crying out loud. What do you? It doesn't register. They just, why does she look better? She looks great. How come?
Wow.
So it's a cute little procedure that we do.
Isn't it painful? It seems especially painful, anything with the lips.
Well, that's true when you get fillers and things. But that's why God invented local anesthesia.
There you go.
Once you make them numb, they're good to go.
One last question then. I'm always curious about how people get into the line of work where they find themselves. How did you get into plastic surgery? I mean, how did you pick this discipline?
Pat, you're going to need another show.
I can do that too. What's the Reader's Digest condensed version answer?
Yeah, right. The cliff notes. Yeah. I grew up in a blue collar neighborhood. My father's a New York City fireman. I was surrounded by craftsmen. I grew up in Levittown on Long Island, and there were cabinet makers and electricians and auto mechanics and things. And I loved working with my hands and fixing stuff.
Oh.
I graduated high school. They wanted me to be an aircraft mechanic, by the way, in high school. That was my guidance counselor told me. I went on to college and was a little bit lost because I knew I wanted to be a doctor, but I didn't have the guts to admit it because I was afraid to fail.
Oh.
There were so many stories about people who had a straight-A student, couldn't get into medical school.
Yeah,
I didn't realize that was not really so true. So took the New York City firefighters test.
Wow.
The physical, the psychological. I was a few hours away from being sworn in, and I told my dad, I want to go to medical school. I don't think I want to be a fireman. And that was a tough conversation because that was all he really wanted.
Yeah.
And I remember him saying, you know, that's about the only other thing I'd let you do.
So, wow.
I'm getting choked up, sorry.
That's excellent, though. That's quite a story, and you are so brave. You're brave.
Well, thank you. So I wanted to be a trauma surgeon. I went on to training. I got into a general surgery program. I wanted to be a trauma surgeon. And they made the mistake of letting me rotate through plastic surgery. And the difference was, this is where my hometown comes into play.
Oh.
In general surgery and in trauma, nobody really sees your work. They just know that the patient is okay.
Yeah.
In plastic surgery, I found there was a different attitude because if you're doing a nose job or a facelift, people are going to know if you did a good job or not.
Yes.
Right? You
know? Wow.
And so they took their time and some of the operations we sat down and I really related to them very much because they reminded me of the cabinet makers at home.
Yeah.
And the people who were real craftsmen. And one thing led to another and there's another whole long story there, but basically I ended up segueing into, I did 3 years of general surgery and I said, I think I want to do plastics. And that was a big leap of faith because there was no guarantee I was going to get my spot, but I ended up in plastic surgery. And then I didn't even want to do cosmetic surgery. I wanted to do microsurgery.
Oh my.
Yeah. But you know, life is serendipity. Right?
Yes. So, yeah. You can't really plan, right? You can't really plan, but it sounds like you have the best of both worlds, all worlds. That's fantastic. Thank you for taking the time and opening up to me. This was really great.
You know what? By the way, I would encourage, for what it's worth, I wrote a blog post a few years ago about diastasis recti. If you go to my website, and you which is drsteri.com, and you go to the blog section, and you look up diastasis recti, there's some video, there's a few cartoon images to explain what goes on and whatnot. I hope that it helps women to understand. If you're a victim of this problem, I hope it helps people understand that they shouldn't feel guilty. There is no shame in this issue. This is something that sometimes happens. You know, sometimes you walk across the street and you get hit by a bus. Something we can all do about that. And if you're somebody who had children and your belly got stretched out, you can't get it back in shape and you tried real hard, it may not be your fault.
That's huge. Thank you again for taking the time.
Yeah, nice meeting you.
Okay, nice meeting you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.